Right, so we're holding, and Mira, and Dalit, we're on Dalit, and Bay, but we'll go back a little bit. And we'll start again from the middle of Dalit, and Alice, in order to. All right, so we had a statement by Rav Gidl. We had a statement by Rav Gidl in the name of Rav, that Zrikas Pigle, that if you have a Korban Pigle, and they do the Zrikas Adam of it, so that, now normally, if the Zrika was done with Kashrus, and now the Korban is able to be eaten, by Kodshe Mat, at that point, Me'ila goes away, but now the meat is not exclusively Kodshe Hashem, it can be eaten by the Kodshe. And when it comes, so therefore Me'ila goes off, and if it comes to Kodshe and Kalin, that is when, at the time of the Zrika, that's when Me'ila would kick in on the Immortal. So Rav Gidl was coming. Right. Kodesh and Kalim, the meat of them, is meant to be eaten by the Kohenim or by the owner. Well, depends which ones. I mean, Kodesh, you have an Ola, which is not eaten at all, but then you have a Chafetz and Asham, where the meat is supposed to be eaten by the Kohenim. But until... Well, we're going to learn later on. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta, where we're going from Sukkim, but that's how it is. When with Kodesh, Me'ila applies to them from the beginning until the Zirta, and then it goes away. And by Kodesh and Kalim, it's the other way around. It begins only when the Zrika is done. Okay, so Rav Gidl had told us that if the Korban was Pigle, then the Zrika does not have those effects. It doesn't cause that Me'ila will go away by Kodesh and Kalim, and it doesn't cause... because the Korban is Pigle, and therefore the Zrika is not being matured to be eaten. And vice versa, the Zrika is not causing... Hello? The Zrika is not causing... The Zrika is not causing that Me'ila should start applying when the Korban is Pigle. So we discussed various ins and outs of that. We talked about a case involving a toida. We talked about a case involving a mincha. So let's start five lines from the bottom of Dalit Amud Aleph. Line begins with Lipasol. Okay. So the Gemara says Lema Messiah. Can we say Rabbi Holtzer? That's fine. He's a regular Gemara. Lema Messiah, can we say that the following Braisa supports what Rav Gidl is saying? Braisa says, a pigul la'olam moilin bo. Me'ila will always apply to pigul. Now, when you say always, now, on the face of it, la'olam means even after the zrika was done, then Me'ila still applies to it. Obviously, we'd be talking about kodshim over here. So in other words, Me'ila continues to apply after the Zrika, and in that case, then that would be a clear proof for what Rav Gidl was saying, that even though Zrika was done, because the Korban is Pigle, nevertheless, Me'ila still applies. That would be exactly what Rav Gidl was saying. Well, that would be exactly what Rav Gidl was saying regarding kodshim. Fine, it wouldn't be talking about kodshim kalim, but at least as far as the kodshim issue would... Normally, Me'ila with Kodshe Kodshim would end by the Zrika, but because it's Pigle over here, it doesn't. The answer is Lois. Not necessarily the Lois Zolach Adam. Not necessarily. The Braisa could be talking about meaning that Me'ila still applies when the blood has not been sprinkled yet. Even though the Shechita was done properly, even though the other Avodis were done correctly, but because the Zrika hasn't been done yet, then therefore Me'ila still applies. The question is, Idol is Zorach Adam, Maila Memra. If you didn't do Zrika, what's the Chiddush? Of course, Me'ila still applies. Even if the Korban wasn't Pigle, Me'ila would still apply until the Zrika. No. Ela La'olam de Zorach. No, so we're going to answer. We are talking about the Braita, talking about that Zrika was done. But the Chitanyahi Ba'olam. But the Chiddush is, the Braita is not talking about a Chasa, so an Asham. The Braita is talking about an Olam. Now, in Ola, nothing of it is eaten by the Kohenim, so therefore, you can't say, therefore, that the Zrika is master anything, therefore, Me'ila still applies to the meat of it even after the Zrika. As opposed to the Braisa is not necessarily talking about a Chata. The Braisa is not necessarily talking about a Chata or an Asham. So it's not necessarily a proof to Rav Gidl. The question is, Iba Ola, if the Braisa is talking about an Oila Pshita, then obviously Me'ila still applies even after the Zrika. The whole thing is Burnt on the Mizbeach, to Hashem. So obviously, therefore, Me'ila is still going to apply. As Tosfos says, we're going to learn later on, that Me'ila is still going to apply Ad Shetetz to Lebeis Hadesh, until the ashes of it are taken out outside the Beis Hamikdash. And besides that, another reason why we have to say the Braisa is talking about a chatas or an asham, dalal beis. The question is, we're bringing a Braisa which says that when you have a korban that's piggle, when you have a korban that's piggle, it says what olam always me'ila applies to it. Now we we're saying on the face of it, la'ola means even after the zrika. So then that's exactly what Rav Gidl is saying. But we're saying not necessarily. Either first we tried to say that la'ola means before the zrika, but we said then there's no chiddush in it. And second, we're trying to say that maybe la'ola means that we're talking specifically by an ola. But we're saying it can't be talking about an ola. First of all, again, by an ola there's no chiddush. Of course, it's still me'ila still applies because there's no heter la'koyanim. Nobody's going to be able to eat it. And also, v'oid, katoni sefer. Also, we can prove that the Braisa is talking about a chatas or an asham, because or any other kachim that are eaten. The katoni sefer, because the sefer of the Braisa continues lon dama. If the blood was left overnight, it's supposed to be sprinkled on the mizbeach before shkia. If it's not sprinkled before shkia, it becomes possible. So lon dama. Even if later on he sprinkled the blood, it's too late. Moilin boy. Yeah, no, Zoka. Well, the pashtus. Yeah, the pashtus means he was Zoka the next day. But whatever, it doesn't really matter. Once Shkia, either way, once Shkia comes, the blood is possible. So whether they did the Zrika by night, whether they did it the next day, really doesn't matter at this point. Either way, Moilin boy. Either way, Ne'ila is still going to apply to this carbon, because again, the Zrika being a possible Zrika did not take away Ne'ila from it.
The master didn't gain anything, so then the rice should be moiled.
No,
he didn't gain by spraying blood.
No, we don't mean he's moiled with the actual sprinkling itself. Oh. We mean that Me'ila applies to all the various other parts of the korban. If somebody now were to have hana from that meat, eating it, feeding it to an animal, whatever, then he would be commit Me'ila. Now, how do we show the fact? So, Iyam at Bishlema b'chatos, if you're saying that the Braisa is talking about a chatos, then fine, shakir, then we understand. It's saying even though he left over the blood overnight, or similarly, Rashi says, similarly we would say even though it became piggle, which was the ratio of the Braisa, then we would say that even though later on he did zrika, then nevertheless Me'ila still applies. Eli amas ba'ola, but if you're going to say the Braisa, it's talking about an ola, zricha l'meima, does it need to be said? Again, of course Me'ila still applies to it. The whole thing goes on the Mizeach. So obviously, the second part of the Braisa, no question, has to be talking about a chakas or an asham, so the ratio of the pashtus also. Okay, so you're right. Sefer vada misayla, you're right. The sefer of the Braisa definitely supports what Rav Gidl was saying. There's no other possible way to understand it. We're obviously talking about after Zrika, because it said apapishachazev Zrika, so we can't use the first answer that we tried to on Amun Aleph that it's talking about before Zrika, because here it clearly says they did Zrika, but it was a possible Zrika. And obviously it has to be talking about a chatas, because again by an ola there's no particular chiddush in it.
Because anyway,
there's no heter for the kohenim to eat it. So therefore, so the sefer definitely supports what Rav Gidl is saying. The question is reisha mai. What can we say about the reisha of the Braisa? Do we say hoyel misayle sefer misayle nami reisha? Do we necessarily have to say that because the sefer of the Braisa supports him, because we said it's talking about a chatas or an asham after zrika, would we have to say necessarily that the reisha also is necessarily talking about a chatas? And saying that even though it was piggle and later on he did zrika, nevertheless Me'ila still applies? The answer is wa vade messiah. The answer is no. Sefer, the answer is no. Lav vade messiah. Sefer lav vade messiah. No, not necessarily is it. And actually, you have different girsos over here. Rashi's girsa over here is that the Gemara is asking back. Sefer lav vade messiah. Are you telling me that it's such a given that the sefer supports him? Actually, not necessarily. The sefer is not even necessarily. Talking is still is not necessarily talking about a chatas or an asham. Namely, my shna halona, because after all, you could argue there's a difference when
you said Messiah,
we thought to say the Sefer is definitely Messiah, but now we're saying maybe not necessarily. You're saying if the Sefer is, then the Reisha must be also, but actually not. Rav Gidol had said, Rav Gidol's din obviously can only apply to a Chatos and Asha. He's saying that the Zrika. Rav Gidol had said that if the korban is pigul and the Zrika, if it was done, it doesn't take away Me'ilah. Me'ilah still applies to him. Now, if it was an Ola, he's obviously not talking about an Ola, because an Ola, Me'ilah is going to apply regardless, whether it's pigul or not. So he has to be talking about a korban that could be eaten, such as a chatas or an osher. So now we're saying we got to the point we're arguing that the brisa, the sefer of the brisa, at least necessarily has to be talking about a chatas or an osher, because why else would it be saying that after we should chaz of a zokah meulin boy? If it's an ola again, there's no chiddush in that. So now we're arguing. So in that case, maybe the ratio also, but we're arguing not. We're saying not necessarily. Sefer lav vade misayale, not necessarily is the sefer clearly being Messiah him either. So Rashi learns, and Agoris Abach also says that we're talking bithmiya. The Gemara is asking a rhetorical question. Sefer lav vade misayale. Do you really think the sefer is actually supporting him? Actually, no. Not necessarily is the sefer talking specifically about a chatas or an asham either. Because maybe it's talking about an oila, but there is a chiddush in it. Because we could say like this, Maishna halona, what can we say is different when the blood was left over, londom, what we said, Jacobid via dying. We're saying that then he did something via dying. Meaning, now what do we mean via dying? He didn't actually do anything, because he didn't sprinkle it, he left it until after Shkia. That's a Shev Val Tafta, basically. It's not, he didn't actually do anything. But Rashi explains biyadayim means relative to pigul, it can be called biyadayim. Because what does pigul involve? Pigul involves a machshava. Okay, you have machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, whether it's machshava or dibur, whatever. But the point is that it doesn't involve a maisa. As opposed to sprinkling the blood involves a maisa. So failure to do that maisa is something different than pigul, which is only a matter of machshava. So therefore there's a difference. So you could say therefore that one is considered more of a maisa in effect. It is considered more of a maisa in the sense that it's a failure to do a maisa. He didn't sprinkle it at all. He left it over. So on the other hand, la pukim. So halona de ka'ovid be a daim. We could say halona, which is something that he actually did be a daim. He actually failed be a daim to do the zrika. Therefore loy mahani zrika la pukim idemi ila. Therefore, you could argue that afterwards, even when he does the zrika, it's not strong enough to take away mi'ila, because he actually did. There was actually an isur be a daim that he didn't do the sprinkling. There was an action that he was supposed to do, and he didn't do it. So therefore, you could say that. Even afterwards, he does the zrika. It's not strong enough to take away meal. As opposed to machshava loyka obed biyadayim, you could argue when it comes to pigul, which only involves machshava, there's nothing involving yadayim at all. So therefore, because the whole thing involves only machshava, therefore mahani lezrika la pukim midei meila. So you could argue maybe therefore the brisa is saying that the zrika therefore might be strong enough to take away meila when it comes to a chatas and an asham. So we could say, in other words, the ratio of the brisa could be talking only about an oila when it says it doesn't take away meila. And therefore, that's no proof to Rav Gidol, because he was talking about a chatas or an asham. And the sefer maybe is also talking about an ola. I, in that case, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is just that lon is a stronger psul than pigul, because it involves a maisa, and therefore the zrika doesn't allow me'ila to be taken away. So no proof from this brisa, neither the ration nor the sefer, is there really a proof to what Rav Gidol is saying.
Is there a nice explanation over here?
Yeah.
Why it's connected each to another? Because it said by the Meshay Libo, something where you don't be a dying, ain't poison homo for God.
Okay.
Man in the Ziklag, he tackles my album Ziklag, the bottom of the mile, and Ashmo, Muhak, my tip, the animal, the animal, the animal, the animal, the
yeah, that's basically
no,
it. In other words, that's
it. And this do a big career, just with my cover, not my say. It's mean,
yeah.
Something.
That's the point.
Something
in other words,
because you need of a big thing, you need big mice to do it, to take him away.
Right. Yeah, Rabbeinu Gershom says something similar. In other words, that halana is he was supposed to sprinkle it, and he actually did the adayim. So therefore, we should make a knas over here and say that therefore zrika is not going to help to take away me'ilah. So therefore, me'ilah would still apply.
Like,
Machshavas
like,
tigul not.
So
that's the thing. So both parts of the brayt that we'd be talking about in oyla. The Reisha and the Sefer would both be talking about an oil. So neither of them is approved. One second. So the Reisha would be saying, that by Pigel, we're saying that by Pigel, Zrika does not take away Me'ilah, but that's not the same thing as Rav Gidol was saying, because the Brais would be talking about an Oila, and Rav Gidol was talking about Chatos or an Ashram, Kavonis that can be eaten. And the Sefer, meanwhile, was also talking about an Oila. Aye, then what's the Chiddush in it? The Chiddush is just this point that we cancel him, this point that we have a Knas when he failed to do something via Dayim, unlike Pigel, which is only a Machshava. So no proof from this braita for of Gidol. Okay. However, lema homisayale. Okay. Can we say that the following braita supports him? A braita says have pigul bekodshe kodshim moyelenboy. Pigul when it comes to kodshe kodshim and bepashas means all kodshe kodshim. Me'ilah still applies to it. Lav apagav dezorak. So again, bepashas we mean even after the zrika, which would be what Rav Gidol says, a Messiah, so then it supports what Rav Gidol is saying, even after the Zrika and the Me'ilah still applies. The answer is, again, like we said before, Lois the Lois Zorach, not necessarily, maybe the here again, the Braita is not even using the word, the word La'olam. In the previous Braita, it said La'olam Moilin Boy, and that was Tosfos pointed out over there, the main point why the Gemara assumed why it has to be after Zrika, because otherwise what does the word La'olam mean? But this one doesn't even use the word La'olam. So one second. Abel Zorach. So the point is, you should know that Me'ilah still applies at this point, even though it was Pigel, but Me'ilah still continues to apply. We wouldn't say, like we said at the beginning of the Masechta, that because it was shechted b'psul, then it's considered as if he choked it. So the question is Abel Zorak Mai. So what are you telling me then? The Braith would be saying if he did sprinkle Mai Hochinami de Moilin Boy. Are you saying that the Braith would be implying that Me'ilah wouldn't apply, that the Zrika would take away Me'ilah? In that case, Amai Katani Sefer, then why in that case the Braith continues, Bekodshim Kalim Ein Moilin Boy, that when it comes to Kodshim Kalim, the Zrika does not cause Me'ilah to be Chal. Because the usual rule is Zrika causes that by Kodshim Kalim now Me'ilah will kick in on the Emorim, and the Braita is saying that not. So the point is Lislig Bereisha v'Lisni. If you're telling me that it's just a difference between before Zrika and after, instead of mentioning a distinction between Kodshim and Kodshim Kalim, instead Lislig Bereisha, it should make a distinction within the Reisha itself, within Kodshim v'Lisni, and it would have to say Lisne Zrika Moilin by La'acha Zrika Emorim.
Okay, you make a difference between
Kodshim Kalim. Yeah, you can make a difference in Kodshim itself between before and after Zrika. Okay, the Gemara says you're right. How who vadim isayalei? You're right. Therefore, that part of the brisa, that part of the brisa necessarily has to support him, because you're right. There's no fact that the brisa mentioned only the distinction between the ratio between kodshim and kodshim kalim. So yes, he said that Me'ilah doesn't kick in with kodshim kalim if the korban was pigul. So yes, the end of the brisa definitely supports him. No question about it. Again, the question is, Lema Hoyle Masayale Seif and Masayale Nami Resha. Can we say then that we can also support his first din from our Braisa about Kodshe Kodshim? Because if we can't make a distinction within Kodshe Kodshim, it sounds like either before or after Zrika, Me'ilah is still applicable, which would be what he says. The answer is not necessarily. Resha Kodshim Kalim Sikale. The difference is, And the answer is no. Kodshim Kalim Sikalei. The difference is, when it comes to Kodshim Kalim, the Braitha can say a blanket statement. It can say an absolute statement that Me'ilah never applies to them when they're pibbled, which is the case, because even though eventually the Zrika is done, and usually Zrika would start that Me'ilah now applies to Kodshim Kalim, but because here it's Piggles and there's no Shach Heter, then therefore it doesn't. So therefore, the Braitha can say as a general statement that Kodshim Kalim always are not going to have Me'ilah applied to them after the Zrika. Hocha like Sikale, as opposed to in the Reisha, it's not necessarily a definitive statement, because there would be a difference. It's true the Braitha could have made a distinction in the Reisha, but that's the point. In other words, that in the Sefer you can say always, whether before or after Zrika, Me'ilah is never going to apply. Whereas in the Reisha, we would have to distinguish between before Zrika and after Zrika. So the Braitha is not making a distinction. So not necessarily, in other words, we should say the Tana of the Braitha might actually hold that with Kodshim that with Pigol, there is a difference between Lifnei Zrika and La'achar Zrika. He doesn't mention that distinction because he doesn't want to get into that level of distinction. He just wants to talk about how it is by Kodshim versus how it is by Kodshim Kalim. And by Kodshim Kalim, he can make a general statement, and by Kodshim, he can't. So not necessarily though does the Braitha agree with Rav Gidl. If you could say that, you could say, in other words, it's mentioning that it applies to Kodshim, and you could understand it to mean both before and after Zrika, which would be what Rav Gidl was saying. But you could also say that the Braitha just wants to tell us generally that there's a concept of Me'ilah when it comes to Kodshim, but maybe it's only talking about before Zrika, maybe after Zrika it no longer applies when they're pickled.
But there's no proof.
Because we don't know necessarily whether he wants to say that there is a distinction between Kodshim before and after Zrika or not, whereas by Kodshim Kalim there's definitely no difference before or after Zrika. Either way Me'ilah applies. So you can prove Rav Gidl's second din from the Braitha, but not necessarily the first din.
What's the second din?
The second din is that Kodshim Kalim, the Ilah doesn't kick in when they're piggled, kick in at the time of the Zrika. But the first din of his, that when it comes to Kodshim, the Zrika of piggled does not take away the Ilah, maybe the Braitha is saying that, maybe not. Nonetheless, though, the fact remains that the fact remains we haven't found an upschlag to Rav Gidl, and the Rambam in fact passed them like him in both divisions. Yeah. Okay. All right. We said in the Mishnah, the next part of the Mishnah, we said Klal Omer Rav Yeshua. Rav Yeshua said a general rule: Kol Shahoyta L'Shas Heter L'Koyinim. Any time when the korban had a period when it was mutter to the koyinim, Ein Moylin Ba, then Me'ilah no by Kodshim, that is Me'ilah no longer applies. That's where I was going to have to figure out. V'chol shaloi hoitza l'shas heter l'koyinim, whenever there was not a time of heter for the koyinim, moylan bo, then Me'ilah would apply. And the Mishnah had said, ezui shahoitza l'shas heter l'koyinim, what do we mean that there's a shas heter l'koyinim? Would be, for example, shalona, if it was left overnight, so then, in other words, it was the pastor's meaning that it became noiser, v'shenitme, so the meat became tame. Shasa kosher means there's time. The pasta. Yeah, finally.
Wait, one time.
We're talking about the meat of it. You're talking about meat of the korban that was left over and became noiser. So before it became noiser, the korban were allowed to eat it.
So you're not going to shecht in the night.
You shechted the korban during the day. You sprinkled the blood during the day. Everything was done kosher v'yosher. Then you left over some of the meat until after chatzos. Shasa kosher on the meat, Bavashas. Because that's what we're talking about. We're saying that Me'ilah continues to eat the meat of the korban, because that's what we're talking about. When does Me'ilah go away on kodshim? On the meat, once it's mutter for the korban meat. Yeah.
Okay.
The ezri shaloi hoisa v'shiyosa, or if it was taken out of the azara, the ezri shaloi hoisa la shapet l'koyinim. What does it mean that there was no shapet l'koyinim? Is, for example, shenishchat chutz mana v'chutz l'mekoyma. If when they shechted it, they had in mind chutz mana, which makes it pigul, or chutz l'mekoyma, which makes it posel, v'shekiblu psulim v'zarku asdama, or where people who are posel did kabbalah or did zrika. That was the Mishnah. Now, We have to figure out, what does it mean, shat heter l'chayim? So, omale bar kapora, le bar pedos, or bar pada, actually, it's supposed to be, bar kapora says to bar pada. Bar pada is an amora that we find in a number of places in Kodshim. I don't believe we find him any place outside of Hilchot Kodshim, but I guess that was his specialty, I don't know, but whatever. He was bar kapora's nephew. Yeah, but Chulin also talks about dinim of Kodshim. Whatever, anyway, so bar pada, we find him throughout Seder Kodshim. Anyway, so bar kapora was his uncle. So he says to Bar Pada, Ben Achoisi, my sister's son, my nephew, Re'e Ma'ata She'eleni L'mocha B'Beit HaMedrash. See and look into what you're going to be asking me tomorrow in the Beit HaMedrash. Meaning, in other words, Bar Kapara wanted to say a din in this connection, wanted to say a halacha in this connection about what Shas Heter means. But the usual style of the Gemara is questions and answers. So he wanted him. He didn't just want to make a statement. He wanted to have that Bar Pada is going to ask a question, and that's going to lead into a discussion. That then they're not just going to accept. They're not just going to take what Bar Kapara is saying and not participate in it. They're going to start delving into it and try to figure out the question. So the question is, heter shchita sheninu, or heter zrika sheninu, or heter achilo sheninu? What kind of heter are we talking about in the Mishnah? When we say shas heter l'kayinim, do we mean that the shchita was done properly? Heter shchita would mean that the shchita itself was done properly. Oy heter zrika sheninu, or do we mean that it's reached the point where it's mutter to do the zrika? In other words, that the avodas up to that point were done properly. Oy heter achila sheninu, or do we mean even later that even the zrika was done properly and the kohenim are allowed to eat the meat? So which one of those is considered shas heter? In other words, if we have, let's say, if the korban was shechted properly, but then they did the kabbalah wrongly, let's say, so heter shchita there is, the shchita itself was done properly, but heter zrika there isn't, because at that point you're not supposed to sprinkle the blood. Heter achila for sure there isn't. Right. So what would it be, right? Tosfos, by the way, points out on the Lashon, why are we saying heter shchita means that the shchita itself was good, versus heter zrika doesn't mean the zrika itself was good. It means that we're able to do the zrika. Why the difference in terminology? Tosfos says the reason is because, let's say the shchita was done wrongly. Are they allowed to do Kabbalah? Sure, they're allowed to. There's nothing to be lost by doing Kabbalah. There's no mitzvah in it. So therefore, you can't say. Of course, it's a mitzvah. But the point is, if the shchita was done badly, if the shchita was done with machshavas pigul, or was done with chutzos manet chutzos mekayma, if it was done by apostle, if it was done whatever, any of the cases, the shchita itself was done wrongly and the animal became nevela, whatever. There's no particular mitzvah then to do the Kabbalah. But there's nothing. It can't hurt to do it either, right? So therefore, we can't use it. We can't say that if the shchita was done properly, we should call it heter kabbalah, because that would imply without that, if the shchita was no good, you're not allowed to do the kabbalah, and that's not correct. On the other hand, if something went wrong during the shchita or the kabbalah or the halacha, you're not supposed to sprinkle the blood of such a korban. So therefore, we can call it heter zrika, that if the three avodas before that were done properly, it's mutter to sprinkle the blood. That's the difference in terminology. So which one is it? Which one of these heterim, when we say shas heter l'kayinim, which one of them does it mean? And by the way, I mean, now the Mishnah had mentioned, for example, you have the case where it was shechted in the north and the Kabbalah was done in the south, or vice versa. So if we said heter shchita sheninu, it would have to mean, let's say the Kabbalah was done before they even finished the shchita. So before even they cut through the two pipes and then did enough to be considered a minimum proper shchita, already, let's say somebody jumped in there and did Kabbalah. As it was being shechted, yeah. Anyway, so that's the question. So, Tzimachlok says, so the next day, when Bapada came and asked the question in the Beit Medrash, so Bakapora explains, it's actually Machlok. Chizki omer heter shchita sheninu, Rabbi Yochanan omer heter achila sheninu. So Chizki says we're talking about heter shchita. In other words, according to Chizki, once the shchita was done properly, we don't care what happened after that. It's still considered that it had shas heter, therefore Me'ila goes away. From the meat, once it was shechted properly, even though something else, even though the Kabbalah or the Halacha or whatever was done wrong. And Rabbi Yechanan omer heter achila sheninu. Rabbi Yechanan says, no, what we mean is it has to actually be mutter for the kohenim to eat.
Meaning
after the sprinkling, right. So nobody says, so nobody takes the view of heter zrika, which is the second one, but you have the first and the third possibility. Okay. Omer of there. Zrika is the last one. So we said heter shchita, heter zrika or heter achila. So nobody is holding heter zrika. You have Chizkiyah saying heter shchita. As long as the shchita itself was done properly, then me'ila goes away. According to Rav Yechanan, we need the zrika to have been done properly. And otherwise, which is the last one. Well, but it's, right, it's the last. Right, that's what I'm saying. Nobody, so nobody said the second one. Sorry, I should say that heter zrika. Nobody knows. Well, I mean the third. I mean the second of the third possibilities that we mentioned here in the Gemara. We have three. One time. We have three possibilities in the Gemara. Chizkiyah takes the first one. Rav Yechanan takes the third one. Nobody takes the second one. Yeah.
If you say hetzikah,
yeah.
It's automatically too, because
yeah, of course, fine. But in other words, nobody's saying that once you get to the point where you're able to do the zrika, then me'ila goes away. Either according to Chizkiyah, it went away before that, or according to Rabbi Yechanan, the zrika still has to be done. Yeah, these three. That's the point. Yeah, let's say, for example, was left over next. Okay. So, Amar of Zera, Loi Daita Masnissin, Deloi Kechizkiyah, or Deloi Kerabbi Yechanan. So Rav Zera says, when you get down to it, our Mishnah, the wording of our Mishnah doesn't really fit like according to Chizkiyah or according to Rav Yechanan. Because we learned in the Mishnah like this, Shalona, Vishenitmes, Vishayasa, we said that three cases where Rav Yeshua says it's considered that it had a Shasa Kosher is where it was left over after the time, or Vishenitmes, where it became Tomei, or Vishayasas, or where it was taken out of the Azara. Now, what do we mean by it? Lav de Lon Dam. Lachora, when we say shalona, means that the blood was left over after shkia. So in other words, that the kabbalah was done properly, and then they didn't do the zrika before shkia. And v'chatoni ein moilin boyin, and the Mishnah says me'ila doesn't apply anymore. And the reason would be we have a concept which we've learned about before called kol ha'omid li zaruk zaruk domi, or Shimon holds that blood that's ready to be sprinkled is considered as if it's already sprinkled. So once it's in the keli already, once it's in the mizrach, we would already consider it as if it was sprinkled on the mizbeach to the extent that ne'ilah would go away. And then ushma mina heter zrika shenenu. So then that would only be according to the second possibility that we're talking heter zrika. Once you have it, was received in the kos, so there was heter zrika at that point. You were allowed to sprinkle one on the mizbeach, but they didn't because they left it over, and it ended up being left till after shkia. So it doesn't fit according to Chizkiyah, me'ila should have already disappeared once they did the shchita properly. According to Rav Yechanan, it should still be in effect until they do the zrika, the actual zrika, not just the ha'omid lizaruk. So it doesn't fit according to either one of them. The answer is because it says loy. No, because that's not what the Mishnah means necessarily. When it says it was left over, it means the long basar. It means the meat was left over. As the meat was left over and became noiser. Aval dam izrik, but the blood itself was sprinkled. Yeah. Mishum hachi katani ein moilin boy, and that's why the Mishnah says that at that point ein moilin boy. So the Mishnah goes, so if we understand it that way, then the Mishnah fits well according to Rav Yechanan. Because according to Rabbi Yechanan, that's what you need. You need that the actual zrika was done, and only then do we say that. And only then do we say that shasa kosher begins. So fine. Now, if meat was left over after the time, after that, yes. So then it had shasa kosher, and therefore me'ila doesn't apply.
On that point, everything was done perfectly.
Yes, exactly. Okay, the Gemara says, let's see, Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah again. We said ve'ezu hi shaloi hois al shasa kosher. What do we mean? What do we mean a case where the korban did not have a shasa kosher lakoyanim? What do we mean where it didn't have a shasa kosher lakoyanim? And by the way, if I forgot to mention, if we say that the shasa kosher means that the shchita was good or that the zrika could be done, then shas heter lakoyanim doesn't mean that the koyanim are allowed to eat it. It means that the koyanim are allowed to do the next phase of the avodah. Keep in mind, remember, shchita cheder bizar. So according to Chizkiyah, if we're saying heter shchita, it means the shchita was done properly, now the kohenim can begin their work on this korban, which is the kabbalah and the halacha and so forth, right? And the same thing, if we say heter zrika shaninu, it would mean the same thing. It would mean that, it means the kohenim now have the heter to do the zrika of this korban, where before they didn't. And then heter achila would mean they actually have permission to eat it. Okay, so the Mishnah has said that when does it not have a shas heter lakoyanim, would be shenishchata chutzlus mana, if it was shechted with a thought of chutzlus mana, which makes it piggle, or the chutzlum koyma, or it was shechted with a thought of chutzlum koyma, which makes it posel, v'shekiblu psulun mezokras dama, or where somebody posel did kabbalah and zviga. So now what does it mean vizokras dama is going to be the key thing? Does it mean and that apostle did the Kabbalah and the Zrika, or does it mean one or the other? So hey chidami, so what is the scenario over here? Ilema does a kuhu psulin vikid luhu psulin. Does it mean that both the Kabbalah and the Zrika, okay, Shetam Kabbalah flips them around, so Kabbalah comes before Zrika, so why is the Gemara mentioned Zrika first, but whatever, okay. If you mean that psulin did both the Kabbalah and the Zrika, lomali, why do we need both? Lomali abdi ikatarki, why do you need both? As a, once one of them was done, then that's already enough to, then that's already enough to make it possible. And therefore that the zrika should not be, and therefore the zrika is not master of the meat to be eaten, and therefore me'ila still applies. Ela lav to kiblu psulim mezerku ukshen. We must be talking about, obviously, that psulim, that psulim did Kabbalah, and then kshedim did the zrika. V'katoni mo'ilin boy, and we're saying that the, and we're saying that me'ila still applies. In other words, then Shitim Kubetis adds a line from a line that's supposed to be here in the Gemara, that only if the Kabbalah was done by Psulim and then the Zrika by Ksherim, then we're saying me'ila still applies, implying on the face of it, if it was the other way around, what if Ksherim did the Kabbalah and Psulim did the Zrika, it sounds like me'ila wouldn't apply anymore. That works according to Chizkiyah.
Because the source alone...
Because the Kabbalah, at least, was done by Kshedim.
So once the Kabbalah, then it's ready for Zrika.
Right, well, that's exactly... So therefore, because Shavamina Heter Zrika Shaninu. Therefore, wouldn't that mean that the Heter of our Mishnah means Heter Zrika? As long as the Shchita and the Kabbalah were done properly, the Shchita and the Kabbalah, well, and the Halacha, I guess, were done properly, then we don't care whether the Zrika was done by Psulim or Ksherim. Either way, Me'ila no longer applies. So again, that's not like Rabbi Yechanan, and not like Chizkiyah. According to Chizkiyah, it should have gone already at the time of Shchita. According to Rabbi Yechanan, it should go away only when they do Zrika. So if we understand the Mishnah that way, then it means that it doesn't work according to either. According to either Chizkiyah or Rabbi Yechanan. It would have to go like the other possibility, Heter Zrika Sheninu, which neither Chizkiyah nor Rabbi Yechanan took that as a possibility. Okay, Maskev for Rabbi Yosef. Now, however, Rabbi Yosef asks on the premise that no, you're assuming that the Mishnah is implying that if Kabbalah was done by Ksherim and Zrika was done by Psulim, then Ne'ilah doesn't apply anyway. Not necessarily. The Mishnah, could be saying even in that case, Ne'ilah still applies, meaning that you need a Heter Achila, like Rabbi Yechanan says, because the Isak Dainach Ikalot Halogi Hoki, because Rabbi Yosef says like this, if you think that you're able to make a distinction like that when the Mishnah says, Kiblu Psulim Vizorku Asdama, means that it means Dafka the Kabbalah was done by Psulim, but not where the Kabbalah was done by Ksherim. If you're going to say such a distinction, then we have another Mishnah that uses the same expression, a Mishnah in Zvachim, where we can't understand it that way. The Tnan Hossam, we learn a Mishnah in Zvachim. Now we have like this, in Zvachim, we had a Perek called Dam Chatas, which talks about a couple of dinim that apply uniquely to a Chatas, one of them being that if blood of a Chatas squirts onto a piece of clothing, techabes b'mokim kodesh, because it tells us in Parashat Tzav, you have to wash that clothing in the Azara of the Beit Mikdash. We learned about it in Zvachim a couple of years back, yeah. So, and that applies specifically to the blood of a chatas, and the Mishnah, but it only applies to a kosher chatas. The Mishnah says over there, chatas psula ein doma tone kibbutz, if the chatas itself was posel, then the blood of it does not have to be washed off in the Azara, because it only applies, the expression in the pasuk is, asher yizeh midoma al abeged, if blood of it squirts onto clothing, asher yizeh aleh, that squirts onto it, techabes, but makom kadosh, then it has to be washed in the holy place in the Azara. So it only applies to blood that is meant to be sprinkled. Asher yizeh aleh, ha baroi lahazus, only where it can be sprinkled on the mizbeach. So therefore, the Mishnah says, chatas psula ein dama tone kibbutz. If the chatas is posel, then the blood of it that squirts onto clothing does not have to be washed in the Azara. And that's true, bein shahosel shasa kosher v'nifsala, whether the korban had a shasa kosher and then became posel, or whether it never had a shata kosher and then it became possible. And the Mishnah spells out, like our Mishnah does, Ezer Yishoyis Ala Shata Kosher Venipsala. What do we mean? What are examples where the korban originally was kosher, had a shata kosher, and then became possible? An example would be, like we said in our Mishnah, Shalona B'Shenit Meso Shiyasa. If it was left over, or it became tome, or it was taken out of the Azara. And Rashi explains over here, that the lon means either the blood was left after Shkia, or the meat was left over, after the time they were supposed to eat it. So, as we're gonna see in the Gemara, it has to be talking more about the blood than about the meat, because there's another din which we learned over there in Zvachim also. Once the blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach, even if it squirts from the mizbeach back onto a piece of clothing, nothing happens. But only the blood that's meant to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. So the meat of the korban can only become noiser after the blood was sprinkled. Otherwise, if you don't sprinkle the blood by shkia, the korban is possible anyway. So we have to be talking about primarily when we say lon, it has to mean mainly that the blood was lon. And that would be the example of it had shata kosher, because they could have sprinkled it before shkia, and they didn't. And the same thing nitmes, and the same thing yotza. So, what are examples where the korban never had a shata kosher? Would be shenishchata chutzla mekoyma chutzla zmana. If when he shechted it, he had a thought of eating it or burning it, chutzla zmana or chutzla mekoyma, v'shekiblu ktulin v'zorku asdama. Or if a possible person did kabbalah on the blood or did zikr with the blood. Now that we have that mishnah, let's consider, can we say, as Rav Yosef, so the point Rav Yosef is getting at is, we wanted to say, relative to our Mishnah, that Kiblu Psulin V'Zorku Es Daman means that if a kosher was Makabal, then the Mishnah is implying that Me'ilah goes away. Because the fact that Kabbalah was kosher, the fact that it came to Heter Zrika is good enough. But if we compare that with that Mishnah in Zvachim, it doesn't work. Because Heichidami, because what would be the scenario? Ilema de Kiblu Psulin V'Zorku Psulin. Do you mean again that Kiblu Psulin V'Zorku Es Daman means that the Psulin did both? They did the Kabbalah and they did the Zrika. Well then, what do you think? Well, that's what we have to figure out. Who de Ein Daman Ton Kibbutz? So you're telling me only if both of those avodas were done by Psulin, only then are we saying the blood is not considered roy to go on the mizbeach and therefore doesn't need kibbutz? What are you implying? Haki bluhu v'zoku k'shirim domaton kibbutz? And what are you implying? Would the Mishnah be implying that if a possible person did the Kabbalah and a kosher person did the Zrika, or vice versa, then you would need kibbutz? You anyway don't. Kori kan asher yizem idom v'lo shekvah huza. If you're talking about it after the Zrika, then anyway, you don't have to do kibbutz for a different reason, because we just said. Because the whole point is that you only have to do kibbutz on blood which is going to be sprinkled on the mizbeach, not blood that was already sprinkled on the mizbeach and then jumped off the mizbeach or was wiped off the mizbeach or whatever. So if we're talking about that, that zrika was actually done, then anyway, it doesn't matter whether it was kshedim or psulim did the zrika. Once zrika is done, then kibbutz no longer applies to that blood. Ella lav davka. So you have to say, therefore, when the Mishnah uses the expression over there, kiblu psulim v'zorku es daman, it must be lav davka. It must be the Mishnah is mainly talking about the kibble, is it talking about the Kabbalah? And once it mentions Kabbalah, it's a natural thing. It's a natural kind of thing to incidentally mention Zrika, even though there it's not relevant. Well, hachinami lav davka. Well, the same thing in our Mishnah, says Rav Yosef. You could argue that when it says kiblu psulin v'zorku es daman, not necessarily does it matter whether the zrika is actually done. It could be that actually the Mishnah is talking about where the zrika was not yet done, and just the fact that the psulin were makabel is enough to make that me'ilah still applies, because again, hefter achila. Like Rabbi Yochanan says. So you're telling me the Mishnah doesn't seem to fit like Rabbi Yochanan, because the Mishnah seems to be implying that if a kosher did Kabbalah and apostle did Zrika, then even though there's no Heter Achila, Me'ilah is no longer going to apply, but not necessarily. The Mishnah might have just mentioned Zrika as a by-the-way thing. It didn't really mean to mention Zrika. It was like the Mishnah in Zvachim. It's focusing on the Kabbalah. And we're saying that if the Kabbalah was done by Stolim, then already, then Me'ilah goes away. Yeah. Almaravasi, it stays, right. Okay. Almaravasi, but Rav Asi says, Imkain, okay, if you're gonna understand it that way, you're gonna say that when the Mishnah is Lav Davka, that it says Dricha, but it didn't, well then Tauti Lomali Lamisni Tauti. Why does the Tana have to do that in two different places? It's one thing, fine. You can have Shigra the Lishna. You can have fine sometimes a Tana says something and he mentions something else which usually goes with it, by the way, even though it doesn't really belong there. But you're not going to say in two different places, Zvokim and Me'ila, that the Tana did that. Obviously, he must be trying to teach us something with it. Ela la'olam de Me'ila davka. Rather, says Rav Asi, we have to say that the one in Or Masechta in Me'ila, when it's mentioning Zrika, it is davka. It is actually mentioning the diuk that we did before, that if Sherim did the Kabbalah and Sulim did the Zrika, then we said that only if Kiblu Psulim Ziz Dorku was Dama, only if the Psulim did the Zrika, and it doesn't matter whether if the Psulim did the Kabbalah rather, if the Psulim did the Kabbalah and the Zrika, then Me'ila would still apply, and we're being medayik from that as we did on Amud Aleph, that if the Ksherim did the Zrika, then we would say Me'ila would go away, because the fact that they did Zrika is good enough, because again, all you need is Heter Zrika, sorry, the other way around. If Ksherim did the Kabbalah, then even though Psulim later on did the Zrika, because it could have been sprinkled, and Heter Zrika Shanenu, so that Diuk is valid, says Rav Asi. But you could say the Mishnah wants to tell us the posel oisa shirai. The point of the Mishnah would be that actually, so we would say that actually, even if even if kiblu ksherim v'zorku ksherim, Me'ila still applies because according to Rav Yechanan, Me'ila still continues to apply until you have shas heter achila, but what we can mean is, why does the Mishnah mention specifically Kibbu Psulin, Bezorku Psulin, is because the Mishnah wants to tell us that Deposel Oysa Shirayim. You should know, when the posel a person does Kabbalah, it makes it that the rest of the blood of the animal is now considered Shirayim. Meaning, you could argue that, let's say, for example, they caught some of the blood in one basin, and apostle, let's say, of Kohen with Tame or what have you, caught some of the blood in one basin and went and did Zrika with it. Meanwhile, then a kosher collected more of the blood in another basin with another keli and went and did Zrika with it. If you were to say that we ignore what the apostle did, then if we were to say apostle ein oisa shirayim, we would say, therefore, that we ignore what the apostle did. We have blood that was caught, that was where Kabbalah and Zrika were done by a kosher, and therefore it's a kosher to carbon. The point of the Mishnah would be to tell us that no, once apostle did Kabbalah, then the rest of the blood is considered Shirayim and it's possible to go on the Mizbeach. The whole rest of it. So therefore, it's not a kosher can't fix it up by doing Kabbalah at that point. Right. So Afagav the Kibbol apostle v'zorak the Kibbol kosher. Afagav the Kibbol apostle v'zorak. Even if apostle received some of the blood and sprinkled it, the Kibbol kosher v'zorak, and a kosher koyan also received some of the blood and he sprinkled lav kumhi, then it wouldn't be counted. My time at the shirayim. Why? Because that blood at that point is considered shirayim. Where and being considered shirayim, by the way, given that the korban is possible, we don't mean the kind of shirayim like we say in davening shira adomo yeshayfa chalisay ma'arovi or whatever. What we mean is shirayim in the sense that now the blood is possible and the whole korban is possible and the blood just has to be poured away. Not on the mizbeach. Not on the mizbeach. They pour it into the amla.
Doesn't say the kibbol. He does kabbal and spring. Even if you just look kabbal laws, it breaks. It's not good.
Right, but what we're saying, in other words, is that. But that's the point. In other words, we're saying that even that
the guy with the tummy with the kabbal the blood, even if he was kabbal, he didn't spray it on his back. It's not good anymore.
No, apparently what we mean is that, one second. Rashi explains over here that, if the apostle does the Kabbalah and the Zrika, then that's when he makes all the rest of it be considered Shirayim. But if he only did Kabbalah, Then you have a Mishnah in Zvachim, Rashi quotes over here, that says that, for example, so you have over there, for example, you have a Mishnah, for example, that mentions that if an apostle had, during the Kabbalah, he thought of chutzah zmanu, chutzah mekayimo, then he wouldn't pass all the rest of it, because there was a machsheves psul. But over here, when we have, so, in other words, the fact that the apostle did Kabbalah doesn't necessarily pass all the rest of the blood, but once he does Zrika already, then it's too late. So the question is, what do you mean? That we actually find that you're telling me that the Mishnah is telling us that posel oisa shirayim, that the posel, a person by doing Kabbalah and Zrika, caused that now the rest of the blood is shirayim, and therefore it's posel to bring. But that's exactly something that Rav Shlokish asked Rav Yechanan. Posel ma'u shiyasa shirayim. Does a Kohen who's posel to do the avodah, does he cause, by him doing the avodah, does he cause that the rest of the blood is considered shirayim? But Omoloi and Rav Yechanan says no. The only thing that makes blood shirayim, and therefore possible to put on the mizbeach, is only if there was a machshava during the Kabbalah of chutzah zmanu or chutzah mekayimo, holam eratzim lepigulon, because then the zrika of a korban that is pigul is what, as we said before, it's kezeya that now it makes the korban as officially pigul. As a result of having the machshava, we said when he has the machshava of chutzah zmanu or chutzah mekayimo, so that starts the process of it being pigul. When does it actually become pigul at the zrika?
When
he actually sprinkles it. We said before, we learned yesterday or 2 days ago, that according to Rashi, it would mean he'd have to have another machshava when it comes to the zrika as well. The one by shchita or by kabbalah is not enough. According to Tosfos, no, the original one is enough, but it only gets the dinim of pigul once zrika is done. So therefore, Rav Yechanan is saying that...
If he wouldn't need one of the kabbalah and sprinkle someone else, then that would be good.
Say what?
Then it has to be a second person involved. He had fetal thoughts when he was shechted.
Right.
Then the Kabbalah was done by a kosher person, the sprinkle was done by a kosher person, then the eagle wouldn't kick it.
So according to Rashi, b'chor or not, although Achronim say that maybe Rashi would only say that if, first of all, Rashi would definitely agree the korban is possible. He just would say it's not pigul.
Oh.
But even Rashi might only be talking about if the person who had the machshavas pigul afterwards had a specific machshava undoing that and saying, you know what, I'm not going to eat it outside of time. And then again, then we would say he needs a new machshavas pigul to make it pigul after all.
Oh,
yeah. So he's right. Well, not really fix it. It's still going to be possible, but at least it won't be pigul yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, the point is, Rav Yechanan is saying, when you have a kosher Kohen who has a thought of chutzah zmanu or chutzah mekayimo during the Kabbalah, then the rest of the blood is considered shirayim, because holam eratzim lepigulon, because there, the zrika is important that establishes that this korban is pigul. Now, my love, Bami Apostle, when Rabbi Yechanan says, Eim l'chadavah sh'oisi shirayim, the pashtasi means as opposed to Apostle, that Apostle is not going to make the blood shirayim. So what are you telling me that our Mishnah is implying that Apostle does make it shirayim, and you're saying that's why the Mishnah mentioned, kibbuk sulad v'zorku es daman, that only if Apostle does both the Kabbalah and the Zrika, does he make the rest of the blood shirayim? According to Rabbi Yechanan, it's not. The answer is why? Afil apostle. Not necessarily. Rabbi Yechanan might be saying that an apostle Kohen, is also able to make a shirayim. What do you mean? What do you mean? He says you don't have any case where he makes a shirayim except for chutzah zmanu and chutzah mekayimo. What do you mean? I'm going to give you another example. The answer is hachid kama. You could say what Rabbi Yechanan means is like this. Ein l'chadavah she'enei merasa b'tzibur v'oysa shirayim ela chutzah zmanu and chutzah mekayimo. When it comes to things that are going to pass a korban for the tzibur, then the only exception you have, then the only case that you have where it's going to make, when you have something that's not going to be merat for the tzibur, that would pass a korban tzibur, but we're saying that if it was done, it makes the rest of the blood shirayim, the only example is ela chutzah zmanu v'chutzah mekayimo. Avo tomei, but if the Kohen himself was tomei, the isei b'tzibur, where, after all, when it comes to korbanos tzibur, if most of the tzibur, or most of the Kohenim, are tomei, then we know tumah t'chuya, tumah hutra, whatever b'tzibur, so then mishavi shirayim. So a tomei, mishavi means he makes it. So therefore, in other words, so Rav Yechanan would be saying like this, you have to distinguish between different kinds of psulim. When you have, there's the soul of chutzpah manev, chutzpah makonai, which is going to always be possible. It's always going to make it possible with people, whether by a korban yachid or by a korban simber. That one is able to make the rest of the blood shirayim. So if one koyin does kabbalah of some of the blood with a thought of chutzpah manev, chutzpah makonai, a kosher koyin that is, and another kosher koyin meanwhile does it with the proper machshava, no good, the korban is still possible. If we're talking about the Tomei, if we're talking about his Tomei, then also he makes it Shirayim. So if he were to do, even by a private person's Korban, if a Tomei Koyan were to do Kabbalah of some of the blood, then that would make it Shirayim. But Shar Psulim, but the other kinds of Psulim, a Baal Mum, for example, where they're not kosher to do the avodah, whether by a yachid, by a korban yachid, or by the korban sibur, loin the shavin shirayim. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan would be saying, that they are not able to make the rest of the blood shirayim. In other words, if a baal mum were to do kabbalah of some of the blood, and even let's say sprinkle on the mizbeach, and afterwards, at the same time, whatever, a kosher koyin meanwhile does kabbalah and sprinkles it, good. Then the korban is kosher. The fact that the baal mum did kabbalah doesn't make the rest of the blood shirayim. The rest of the blood is still kosher, can be sprinkled on the mizbeach.
According to him, the only time that does come shirayim is if it's a
machshavas
chutz.
So there's three possibilities: machshavas zmanoi, machshavas zman, machshavas mokrim, or tomei. So tomei is, the reason is because tomei, you have an exception that it works by korban sibur anyway. Even lachatchila, or not lachatchila, but whatever. The point is, by korbanas sibur, they can be brought to tumah. It is possible for a koyin tomei to do the avodah. Therefore, even when it comes to a korban yochid, even though a koyin tomei can't be doing the avodah, nevertheless, his avodah has enough importance, has enough of a status in halacha to make the rest of the blood shirayim. Then you have machshavas zman and machshavas mokim, which is an exception to the rule, even though it applies across the board to all korbanos, yachid and sibur, it always makes them possible. Nevertheless, it also has enough importance to make the blood shirayim, because merasta l'pigulay, because eventually the zrika has the importance that it makes the korban is now officially pigul, and that's chayv, and that person's chayv kodesh for eating it. On the other hand, you have the other psulim, where if they do it, they don't make the blood shirayim. So our Mishnah doesn't contradict
which one's on the Kishrayim.
For example, Baal Mum, a Kohen is not wearing the right begadim, et cetera, all the other psulim which apply across the board to all korbanos. So if we're saying that our Mishnah is implying that the psulim make the blood shirayim, that would be talking about where the psul, specifically where the psul was that he was tummy. But if the psul was, let's say, that he was a Baal Mum, then not. Then the fact that psulim, kibbul psulim, mizorik was daman, doesn't prevent a kosher koyin from going and doing kabbalah and zrika and making the korban kosher after all. And once the zrika is done, the mi'ilah goes away.
Okay, so the machshavas chutz, that's where you have a chance of recovering and sprinkling everything good.
No, what we're saying, we're saying if the kosher koyin had a machshavas zman or machshavas mokim during the kabbalah, then another koyin is not able to do kabbalah and save it. Because that made the blood shirayim.
But the fact that it's tummy,
if he was tummy, also the same thing. If he was tummy without a machshava, same thing. Only if he was, for example, a baal mum, then it doesn't matter whether he had a machshava or not. Either way, the fact that he was a baal mum means that we ignore his kabbalah.
And someone else could do it.
Someone else could do it, right.
Okay.
So if he was tummy, then somebody else can't do it. And if he was kosher and he had machshavas man or machshavas mokim, then somebody else can't do it. Those are the cases. So those are the cases where the Mishnah is saying that it's too late to do anything once once he had machshavas man or machshavas mokim while he was doing it. Nobody else is able to save it. The korban is possible, and me'ilah is forever going to apply to the me'ilah. As opposed to if it was a different kind of possible that did the kabbalah, then Rabbi Yechanan is telling us that he doesn't make the blood shirayim. So a different koyin is able to still do kabbalah. If there's still dama nefesh left, then another koyin can do the kabbalah and the halacha and the zrika and everything will be good and me'ilah will go away. But in other words, the point is from all of this is the Mishnah is not necessarily telling us that all we need is heter zrika. The Mishnah could be telling us you do actually need heter achila. You do actually need a heter achila, so therefore it's not enough that the kabbalah was done properly. The zrika has to be done properly as well. But the reason why the Mishnah would mention that Sulam did both the kabbalah and the zrika is just to tell us about this din of shirayim, of ois and shirayim or ein ois and shirayim.
But why both Mishnahs?
No, so that's the way it would say. In our Mishnah, that's the purpose of it. In the Mishnah, in Zvachim, it mentioned once it's a standard Lashon, Kidlup Sulam, Berserk Worth Domin, like in our Mishnah, then the Tana will use it sort of by accident in another place, such as in Zvachim, even though there it's not relevant to talk about whether Zrika was done. Toshma. Okay, let's try to bring another proof. A Braisa says, Hapigul la'olam mo'ilin boy, we brought this Braisa before, Pigul me'ila always applies to it. So again, let's assume when it says la'olam, lav deloy zarak, l'chorda, let's assume, as we did in the previous sugya, that we're talking about that me'ila applies to it before zrika. Again, Rashi says over here. Now here we wouldn't say that Kola Omen Lizrik Kazoruk Yomi, because it's tickled already. He had a thought of Zman during he had a Machsheves Zman during the Shchita. So that already starts making him tickled. So Lav the Loy Zorak, Lachora we're talking about even before the Zrika, that Me'ila applies, Ushmamina Heta Zrika Shaninu, and then that would show that what we need in order for Me'ila to go away would be Heta Zrika. Which again is not like Rabbi Yechanan and not like Chizkiah. And the answer is Zerka. No, we're talking about where he actually did sprinkle it. Well, my la'olam. So why does he use the expression la'olam? Why does he use the expression la'olam? We're talking about kashrut kohen. The problem isn't the kashrut of the kohen. The problem is here that the kohen is pigul. So, yeah, during shchita, right? Yeah, right. So what would it be using the expression la'olam? Hakamashmalan kidur of Gidol. It's telling us the din that Rav Gidol said before, the Amr of Gidol that we said in the previous sugya, of the Amr of Gidol Amr Rav Zrikas Pigol Einim Moisi Midemiila Veinim Maybe the Demiila. That he said that the Zrikas Adam of a korban that's Pigol, if it was Kodshim doesn't take away Miila, and if it was Kodshim Kalam doesn't cause Miila to take effect. So that would be what the Braita is telling us by using the expression "hapigul la'olam moilin by means," because the korban is pigul, the zrika does not take away the meila because it was pigul, which is exactly what Rav Gidol had said. Tosfos asks over here, by the way, the question. I mean, what's the Gemara's question? You want to say la'olam because you want to say la'olam because if you're talking about after zrika, what do you mean? If it's after zrika, my la'olam, then why does it mean la'olam? That's exactly what la'olam means, both before and after zrika. So Tosfos answers that what the Gemara is trying to do is the Gemara is trying to do like this. Tosfos brings from Hasar Mikutzi. Those of us who grew up on Marcus Lehmann stories know the famous story of the Count of Kutzi. That's one of the Balei HaTosfos, who Shimshin his name was. Marcus Lehmann has a whole story about it, how he was appointed a knight or a count or whatever by the King of England for saving him, etc., etc. Yeah, actual history is lav dafka that. We call that Sar because his name is Rabbeinu Shimshon, so they took the name Reishin and then made Sar out of it. Anyway, so he gives an answer, and he gives an answer in Tosfos over here that what the Gemara is saying is like this: we were arguing that loy zorak would mean that la'olam would mean before or after zrika, but. So number one, it would tell us Rav Gidol's din, and number two, it would also tell us that Heter Zrika Shaninu, that all you need is for the Zrika, all you need is to reach the point where Zrika could be done, and then once you reach that point, if it was kosher, then Me'ila would apply. So then, if you say that way, then there's no chiddush in writing the word la'olam, because obviously if you were able to reach heter achila, of course me'ila would go away. And the answer is that the braisa wants to tell us exactly that. The braisa wants to tell us that when the korban is pigul, then like Rav Gidol says, the zrika doesn't take away me'ila. If it weren't for that, if it wasn't telling us Rav Gidol's din, then yeah, it didn't have to use the word la'olam. Because then we would know, obviously, that if the zrika was done in a kosher way, that me'ila would go away. Tashma, Reb Shimon Omer, yesh noiser shemoylen bay, yesh noiser shein moylen bay. Reb Shimon says that not always do we say that noiser is not subject to me'ila. It depends. Sometimes there's noiser that me'ila can apply to, and there's noiser that me'ila doesn't apply to. Case that, lon lifnei zrika. if it was lon, if it was left over before zrika, moilin, then me'ila would apply. La'acha zrika ain't moilin, but if it was after zrika, then there's no me'ila. Now you have two different ways. You have two different ways that the rishonim read this sentence. Does it mean lon that the blood was left over, lifnei zrika? And do we mean lon lifnei zrika that the blood was left over without being sprinkled? And therefore, so the Reb Shimon would be saying, if the blood was left over and hadn't yet been sprinkled, and somebody were to eat it before zrika, then me'ila would apply. But if it was after, if it was after zrika, meaning if the blood was left over until after shkia, so it became possible, and then later on they went and sprinkled it, even though it's possible, Reb Shimon would hold that takes away me'ila. That's one way of learning it. The other way is lon. The other way is you break them apart. Lon, if the meat was left over, then it depends. Lifnei zrika, moilin. La'acha zrika, ein moilin. So it depends. Does lon refer to the blood, or does it refer to the meat? Okay. Anyway. Katoni mias moilin boy. Now, the Braitha is saying, Reb Shimon is saying, he says moilin boy. That me'ila applies to it. Lav to have a show from Mizrake. So l'chora, aren't we talking about where there was time enough in the day to sprinkle it? The e boy zorik. So if he'd wanted, he could have sprinkled it, and then he got careless and he didn't. Ushmamina heter achila sheninu. Therefore, that would mean that when do we say that me'ila goes away? Only if there's heter achila. So like this, in other words, just the fact that there was heter zrika is not enough. Reb Shimon is saying me'ila would still apply. Lon lifnei zrika merlin boy. So even though the zrika, so the zrika had not yet been done, you could have done it, you had a heter zrika, and still me'ila applies until there's heter achila, until the sprinkling is actually done. And the answer is lies, not necessarily, because you could be talking about this kabbalah samoch the shkia tachama, you could be talking about he did the kabbalah right before shkia, delayava shows the mizrach, and there's no time to do the zrika before shkia. So then you could say that that later on when he does the when he does the zrika, then it doesn't take away me'ila. So the question is, Abel Hoya shows my. So what are you telling me then? That if there was time before shkia to sprinkle the blood and he just didn't do it, Hochi Nami de Ein Merlin? Are you telling me just the fact that there was heter zrika, the fact that there was enough time to do the zrika, that itself would make the blood mutter? In that case, my iriyah to Tony lifnei zrika. In that case, why does Reb Shimon use the expression lifnei zrika? Lifnei kodim shkia or la'acha shkia. Let him use the expression before shkia or after shkia. Before, when there's no time left to do the zrika versus when there is time left to do the zrika. The fact that he uses the expression lifnei zrika and la'acha zrika seems to mean that he requires the actual zrika to be done, which means like Reb Yechon and heter achila shaninu. The answer is hochinami katani. No, you could say that's exactly what Reb Shimon means. When he uses the expression lifnei zrika and la'acha zrika, he could mean kodem shiyir royal zrika or la'acha shiyir royal zrika. He could mean before the time. He could mean kodem zrika would mean before it was roy to be sprinkled. Meaning, in other words, that he did the kabbalah right at shkia, so there was never a time when they could have done zrika. Versus la'acha zrika would mean la'acha shiyir royal zrika after there was enough time when conceivably they could have done the zrika and he just didn't. Right. So still no proof. So still no proof yet whether what we need is heter achila, which means the zrika actually has to be done, or whether we just mean heter zrika, which would mean as long as the shchita and kabbalah were done properly, then we don't care whether the zrika itself was actually done properly.
Take away me'ila
or not. Right. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem. Yeah.